Our scripture passage comes from Matthew chapter 3. Listen now for God's holy word. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all from the region, they were going out to him in the region of the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight upon him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, amen. Amen. During this past Advent and Christmas season, God has been reminding us that God gives us signs. Just a few weeks ago, I preached about how God is eager to give us signs. I preached about how God pleaded with King Ahaz to ask God for a sign. "Ask for a sign," God pleaded. "Ask for a sign to confirm the promises that I have made. Ask for a sign, and I will give it." Last Sunday, we celebrated Epiphany, and Reverend Dawn Awpall was here, and she handed out Epiphany stars. Like the Magi who followed the star to find the Christ child, Pastor Don handed out these stars to encourage us to spend this whole year reflecting on a sign and keeping our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to the signs that God will give us. If you weren't here last week and you still need a star, come up to me after the service and I will give you one. And the rules are is you have to keep the one I give you, and you have to reflect on it all year long. It has one theme or one word on it for you this year. This week, we see an example of God giving signs. We see God's signs in the story of Jesus' baptism. Jesus comes to be baptized. He goes through a ritual, which involves physical and tangible elements. In this case, the waters of the Jordan River, the blessing of another person's ministry, John the Baptist, his cousin, and God's signs from heaven. At his baptism, Jesus comes to begin his earthly ministry. He was born and he grew up, and in the Gospels, we don't hear too much about Jesus' early life. After his birth, the next stories we hear are about Jesus as an adult beginning the public chapter of his life as God's servant in this world. And Jesus launches into this new chapter of his life with a ceremony, a baptism, a series of signs, a sacrament. Within our tradition, we have two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The most basic explanation of a sacrament, which you'll find in our Reformed Church perspective, the most basic understanding is that a sacrament is the counterpart to the preached word of God. A sacrament is a physical and tangible expression of the gospel message. I can preach the gospel with words, and I do my best. You can read the words of the gospel in your Bibles, and I encourage you to do so. But God has also given us the sacraments to help convey the gospel message with physical and tangible signs of God's love, God's presence with us, and God's grace. A sacrament is twofold. It is words, But of course, more importantly, it is signs. First, we say something about the sacrament. We express a spiritual truth. We make words to say something which points towards the deep spiritual reality to which the sacrament itself is pointing. I stand up here and I say, this bread and this wine, they represent Christ's body and his blood, which were given in our place for our sins. We say this meal is a foretaste, an appetizer, a reminder, a sneak peek at a great banquet of joy and celebration that is already unfolding in heaven and will one day spill out over all of creation. When we engage with a sacrament, we make words to express something of the inexhaustibly deep spiritual reality to which the sacrament points. But of course, a sacrament is more than words. Primarily, the importance of our sacraments are that they contain visible, tangible, smellable, and tastable elements and signs. They involve the senses that God has given us beyond just our hearing. My friends, God doesn't want us just to hear God's promises. God wants us to hear God's promises, but God doesn't want us just to hear God's promises. During a sacrament, God blesses us with a richly tangible experience of those promises. Like God pleading with King Ahaz to ask for a sign, this morning God pleads with us, to receive our sacrament as a sign of God's love. As the bread and the juice are passed, God is pleading with us, saying, see, smell, taste, and feel my love, my grace, my presence with you. In baptism, we are washed over with water, and we move. Our bodies have to move when we're baptized. We move, we come forward, we cross from one side to the other. We move out into the congregation. In the case of an infant, an elder carries the child out among the pews to represent our movement into the family of God. That movement shakes us into a new reality. It shakes us into realizing that we are children in God's family. With communion, we hold the elements of bread and juice in our hands. We smell the bread and the juice, and then we taste and see that the Lord is good. The elements in our hands and in our mouths, they shake us into realization. They shake us into realizing, I have been given. I have been given a place in God's family. I have been given a seat at God's table. I have been given access. I have been given a welcome. I have been given God's grace. Here it is, a sign in my own hands. As Pastor Don and I both preached recently, God knows that sometimes we need signs. And this week, God reminds us that our sacraments can function as those God-given signs. Beyond the words of God's promises, sometimes we need that which we can feel with our hands, our heads, our shoulders. Sometimes we need that which we can receive the gospel in order to stand up and to come forward, to reach out and to touch, grasp, and hold. Sometimes to receive the gospel, we need that which we can see with our eyes and that which we can taste and smell. And my friends, it's fascinating to see that in Scripture, Jesus was just like us in this regard. Jesus was just like us. He heard God's promises, but he also received tangible signs. Jesus heard God's promises, but he also received sacraments. He was incarnate. He appeared in our flesh. He came with eyes and ears, a mouth and a nose. He came with skin just like ours, with pores and hairs and goosebumps and nerves to feel the tangible textures of life. He lived an embodied life like ours. And so at the onset of Jesus' public ministry, as that new chapter of his life began and unfolded, Jesus received both the words of God's grace, but also tangible signs of that grace and love and provision as well. With his ears, he heard God's pronouncement of love. At his baptism, Jesus heard God's voice declaring that he was beloved. But at his baptism, he also experienced that pronouncement with all of his other senses as well. He was baptized by his cousin John in the waters of the Jordan River, and so Jesus saw. He saw with his eyes the heavens opened and a dove descend. He saw with his eyes the love, the compassion, and the amazement of his cousin. Jesus saw the rushing waters of the river. He saw the banks of that river, slippery and treacherous. And he saw the pathway that led after that baptism to the next challenge of his calling. At his baptism, Jesus must have smelled and tasted as well. He smelled and tasted the waters of the river. Whenever we drive down to the Jersey Shore to visit the ocean, it's always the case that we can smell the salty air of the ocean before we see the water itself, right? Especially at Ocean Grove. You turn into Ocean Grove, and blocks before you get to the ocean, you can smell the salty sea air. Water has a smell, and I'm sure that the Jordan River is no different. As Jesus approached his baptism, he must have smelled that water before he saw it. And Jesus would have tasted the water of his baptism as well. Whenever you enter water, whenever you are submerged, the water finds its way to your taste buds. It runs down your face and into the corners of your mouth. It dries on your lips, and whatever it has inside of it is left there on your lips for your tongue to find later. It's always an interesting experience to allow your head to go down underwater, whether in the ocean or a pool or at a lake or a river. Before you submerge your head, you might have a sense of what you've gotten yourself into, but then as soon as your head goes underwater, you realize that you're tasting the water that is all around you, and your brain registers, whoa, this water is salty, or whoa, this water has tons of chemicals in it. Or with the case of the Great Lakes in Michigan, you go under the water and you come up and you say, this water tastes wonderful. At his baptism, Jesus would have tasted the waters of the Jordan River. They would have made it to his taste buds. And he would have felt those waters as well. He would have felt them pushing against his body as he wandered into the river. He would have felt the water clinging to his shirt and his tunic. He would have felt the waters running down his hair and over his face. And he would have felt John the Baptist as well. God's voice said, I love you, you are my son. But it was John's hands that reached out and steadied Jesus in the river. It was John's hands who took him by the shoulders and pressed him down and raised him back up over its surface again. God's voice provided the words, but John's hands would have been there to hold Jesus' hands. John's hands, his touch, would have been there to hold Jesus' shoulders and move him from this moment to that. Hearing and sight, smell, taste, and touch. With all of his senses, Jesus received that message from God. You are beloved. You are my servant. You are my child. With all of his senses, Jesus would have received that message. Today you are born anew, and today you begin a new chapter of your life before me. My friends, God knows that we need signs. Scripture shows, and the testimony of our fellow people of faith makes it clear, that God's signs can come in an amazing variety of ways. God's signs can touch us in so many different ways. I've heard your testimony that God can send us angels who can come and speak to us in our dreams or even in our waking hours. I've heard your testimonies that God can speak to us through elements of the natural world, a bolt of lightning, the beauty of a tree, the scampering movements of a creature, a star, or other signs in the sky. God can speak to us through what others might dismiss as mere coincidence. God can speak to us through a card, a letter, a hug, a handshake, a hand over a shoulder, a cup of water, a container of soup, small gestures of kindness from friends or neighbors. God sends us signs in so many different ways. But today, God reminds us that God has given us our sacraments as opportunities for us to receive God's love through the tangible signs of God's grace and provision and transformation. God knows that we need signs. And so here at church, God has called the leaders of this church to offer these sacraments as moments when God can deliver signs which we can experience through all of our senses. I pray that our services of communion have and will continue to be opportunities when God's signs are made available to you. If you haven't experienced this meal as a series of signs of God's love, then I pray and I would ask you to join me in prayer that God will use the Lord's Supper, this sacrament, these elements, these signs, to convey to you God's love today and every time that you partake in communion. This meal is not here to make you feel guilty. And this meal is not here primarily to make you scared of God. This meal is here to remind us that God wants us at God's banquet table of everlasting celebration of God's light and life. This meal is here to remind us that God has promised to give us bread, sustenance for the journeys of life, and that God has promised to give us wine, which represents the joy of the human heart, hearts which are called to rejoice always, as Scripture calls us to do, knowing that thanks to Jesus' death and his resurrection, you and I, we together can all, we are all God's people, eternally loved by a God who has conquered even the power of death itself. Communion, the bread and the wine, its service to us. It is here as God's signs of love and grace and our salvation. So too is our sacrament of baptism. If you haven't been baptized, and you are feeling called by God to enter that new chapter of your life before God, let me know. I'd be thrilled to work with you on a baptism. And if you have been baptized in the past, and you are feeling called to experience again the blessings of the sacrament of baptism, to reconfirm God's promises to you and to reconfirm your commitment and promises to God, to reconfirm your place in God's family and God's kingdom, I would be thrilled to offer the signs of that rededication. We can make arrangements for a rededication service, services for you to remember and confirm your baptism. We could do it here, we could do it in a more private setting, but it would be an honor to offer you a service of rededication. And another option we have is for you to come to the next service with prayer and the laying on of hands. The elders and I will be offering prayer with the laying on of hands on Sunday, January 29th, the last Sunday of this month, following our 10 a.m. worship service. Those services are saturated with the themes of baptism. Let your sense of touch be engaged. Be invited to leave your pew, to move your body, to come forward. Allow your hands and your shoulders to be touched by your church leaders, as our hands of welcome and love and grace and blessings become the very hands of God's love and grace and welcome and blessings. Come, let us pray over you with our words. And come, let us bless you with our touch and our hands. It's January 29th, following worship. In the meantime, God calls us to remember that others others in our lives are craving tangible signs of God's love as well. Since this fall, I've been inviting all of us to pray for others, to pray that God would touch the lives of our friends and neighbors and to inspire faith to grow in their hearts. And today, by God's leading, I ask you to consider what tangible signs of love you could send into others' people's lives as well. What sacramental gifts could you give? God calls us to be tangible in our love for others. For God knows that we need more than words. We need signs. So pray that God would help you to know how you and your life and your actions could be God's signs of love to others. And as God leads you, reach out, send a card, give a gift, offer your hands or your shoulders to others. And may God's love flow through all of us in all that we say and in all that we do. Amen.